He says, I know that the Lord will maintain. I know. I walk with him. I know that he's going to maintain the cause of the afflicted. I know that, that he's going to give justice to the poor. I've seen it. So with all the stuff that's happening around you, all you have to do is know how to deal with it, how to have a covenant cry, how to literally, honestly, you know, cancel out the curse with that caveat, but knowing that God's going to do this because of his glory, the glory of his name, and know that, understanding that the confident conviction that you have in the covenant cry and the cancellation of the curse is going to move it forward because you're doing this all in the name of the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen. God is good all of the time. Amen. Amen. We thank God for those of you on today who are here with us. It is my prayer that you will be helped on the day. During this time, we're going to pray and we're going to get straight into the Word of God on this morning. Father, we thank you on today for being so wonderful. And being such a great God, we know that there is none like you. We pray that you will not gird us with your holy armor, cover us with your favor as a protective shield, deliver us from the enemy's hand on this day. And then, Father, I pray that as you dispatch your angels, as you deliver us, Father, I pray that you will cover our hearts and our minds, dear Lord, and that you will protect our hearts and our minds as the very seed of life, Father, goes forth. I pray for conviction of the preached word, but conviction also to receive the preached word, Father, with the intention and with the deliberate intention, Father, of applying it and implementing it in our lives on this day. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And I pray for conviction of heart, Father. I pray for conviction of speech. I pray, Father, for clarity of speech, Father, that we are clear on this day. And I pray, Father, that as we share, that it will be concise to the point that we add nothing to what you are trying to share. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all people of God said together, amen. 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 We are going to continue in the book of Psalm 140. The book of Psalm 140, we've read it into your hearing already. We're going to jump right into the word and just share with you just a few thoughts. And hopefully, be down from this place. I have the tendency to check over to my right to my clock, but somebody then took my remote. I'm gonna find it, whoever it is. If not, I'm gonna buy me another clock with another remote. So y'all better find my remote. But until then, I got my timer up here. Amen. So. So last week we were talking about how to handle evil, and I'm trying to approach this from the biblical perspective, because we know how we want to handle evil in our lives. I mean, maybe y'all saved, you know, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, never think about taking nobody out, you know, never think about, you know, putting nobody in a headlock, never think about putting your hands on folk. I mean, that's good. I'm still trying to get there. I'm still trying to get there, you know, but when you think about how to handle evil, how to handle, you know, when people come up against you with ill will, and, you know, we think about how to handle what's out here right now, amen. For me, I go, you know, unfortunately, I still sometimes go to the fleshly ways, and Sister Hattie, I know that's not a good thing, but I'm just trying to be transparent. And so one of the things that as I began to, you know, go through Psalm 140, as we were talking about last week, you know, and just looking at how it was all set up and, you know, and David, you know, and what he's doing and how we believe that a lot of this is when he was in his early, when he was early, on his early onset of him serving in the house of Saul. And so we talked about, you know, how this, in your Bibles, it may say prayer for deliverance from evil men. And so, and some of your Bibles, you have those headings on there. And so as I began to share with you on last week, you know, I was talking about how in order for us to be able to deal with evil and handle evil, there had to be a covenant cry. And I tried to take you down through those passages in verses 1 through 8 where it looked at, you know, and we were talking about the David's being in covenant, which allowed him to be able to cry out to God with an expectation to hear from God. So in other words, when evil came at him, you know, his first instinct or inclination was to cry out to God because he is the God of the covenant. L-O-R-D, all capital letters, no Yahweh. That means that he's the God, he's a covenantal God. And he is in covenant with him, and he keeps covenant with God. And therefore, because he keeps covenant with God, then he has a right to cry out to God. I was talking on yesterday at the prayer breakfast, we were talking about abiding in the fruit of the Spirit. And I talked about that we, in order for us to abide, the ascension had to have taken place so the Holy Spirit could come down and then we can abide with God. And so we are in covenant with God because we have the Holy Spirit of God in us and abiding with us. And so just like David, we can now cry out to God, deliver me, O Lord, preserve me, O Lord, keep me, O Lord, hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. In other words, he's saying, and cover me, O Lord. Basically, he's saying that we have now the privilege, not even the right, but the privilege to be able to cry out to God in our situations, no matter how bad those situations are. And no matter who bring those situations up against us, you know, our first instinct is to look at them, you know, and to go at them, Sister Monica, as opposed to looking up, you know, and going, you know, and coming, you know, and going to God. I mean, I'm just saying what I'm saying. I know y'all righteous. I know y'all holy, you know, and I know y'all you're very perfect in your thinking. I know y'all don't do that stuff. But sometimes, yeah, you think about going at as opposed to going up, you know, and letting God deal with it. So, but because we are in covenant and because we are abiding, you know, in him, you know, in that covenant, then that gives us the privilege to be able to go, because that's what the scripture says, you know, touch not my anointed, neither do my prophets no harm. We are the anointed of God. We are the called out of God. Okay, we are the body of Christ. We belong to him. And because he is now, if you look in verse 7, where it says, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you see where there is capital L, small O, small R, small D, right? And that is Adonai. You know, he says that you are the master of, you are the one who has purchased the strength of my salvation. Now, I said I'm going to finish up my first point here because I want y'all to see this, where even when he says, you have covered my head in the day of battle. What did that sound like to y'all? You have covered my head in the day of battle. Huh? Protection. Somebody else says that in the New Testament. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and goes on. So he says, you have covered my head. You have put a helmet on my head. You put a helmet of salvation on my head. So you see, Paul wasn't just throwing stuff out in the atmosphere. Paul understood the scripture. He says, you are covering my head with salvation. I'm putting the helmet of salvation on. And so understanding, because you are my covenant God, but yet you also have purchased me, you are the master of my life, then you are now covering me with your salvation, with your deliverance, with your power and your ability to deliver me, to save me. So that's why he could cry in the covenant, because the covenant cry said that God, I'm now going to come to you because you said I belong to you. And so therefore, because I belong to you, I need your help. Yes, yes. Deliver me. Yes. Preserve me. Yes. keep me, preserve me, hear me, cover me with your salvation. Now, mind you, he understood what was going on outside of him, y'all. But he said, but I need to look to you first, as opposed to my situation. I need to look to you first, as opposed to who's coming at me. Because if I look to you first, then you can then put me in my place where I need to be to be able to fight the battle that I need to fight. So we talked about that. Well, I gave it a little bit more, but, you know, that was under the first point as we have what we call the covenant cry. You deal with evil by having a covenant cry, you know, cry out in covenant. Cry out in covenant. In other words, don't cry outside his will. All right. But now, y'all, the second point I really had to grapple with. Because I'm kind of give you the evolution of my thought for the second point. All right. So the second point from verses 9 through 11, it says, as for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. David was like, look, Lord, come on. You know, let the head of him who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. In other words, let their own evil go back on them. And let them cover it. Let their own evil that they're espousing, in other words, it's called holy and righteous retribution. Not retribution that you hear about nowadays from the White House. But we're talking about holy and righteous retribution. Yeah, yeah. And so my first thing was I was gonna say, don't write this down because it's not my point. I'm trying to give you the evolution of my thought process that they had, because I'm gonna tell you, see, this is a perfect example, y'all. That's why I'm still being saved. Yeah, because what happened is, Sister Gillespie, is I was thinking about that. And so the first thing that came to my mind was, hey, I like it because this is what I call a capitulated curse. I had to put the word capitulated. In other words, no, he had to be, you know, surrendered. But I talk about it was a curse because they was cursing, they not cussing, but they was cursing him and cursing him. And I'm like, but yeah, even though David was doing that, that's not really, you know, as we step into the New Testament, you know, you don't hear the word vengeance. So I started looking for the word vengeance. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, the vengeance of mine says the Lord, and I will repay. So then I said, okay, well, that word vengeance is used like 45 times in the whole Bible. 38 times it's used in the Old Testament. Only 7 times in the New Testament. I'm like, oh. So I gotta be correct. I gotta make sure I stay in context. So I said, okay, well, maybe I won't say capitulated curse. Maybe I'll say, maybe, you know, curse with a caveat. This is my mind because David is mad. David upset. Say, hey, they coming at me now. Lord, you need to, you know, do something to them. Put the evil back on them. Listen to this, y'all. He says, you know, let the evil of their lips cover them. Yes. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Now, if y'all go into the book of Psalm, you're going to see that in other places like Psalm 35 as well, where he said, hey, Lord, send your angel of death after them on my behalf. And I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. Do that. And so I was like, yeah, no, so maybe we say a curse with a caveat. In other words, no, there's a caveat. You know what a caveat is, right? You know, a caveat, you know, is with a stipulation or with limitations, you know. But I had to say, okay, well, no, maybe. I can't tell the folks to go curse folk. I can't tell the people of the New Testament to go curse them. So I said, okay, maybe we can use this point, y'all. So I had to evolve to this point. Okay. And I said, I'll evolve to the point of let's cancel the curse with a caveat. Okay. Let's cancel the curse with a caveat. Here's what I mean by that. Because I can't ignore the fact that in the Old Testament, I mean, that was where it's supposed to be in the Old Testament. I mean, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. In other words, he says, vengeance belongs to me, you know, and I'm going to repay, okay? You know, and he says, so therefore, you know, understand that vengeance do belong. And so David was right at this point in the Old Testament to say, Lord, you got to, you know, I want you to heap on them what they're trying to put on me. He was right. You know, and so I had to argue this thing. I'm like, but Lord, he right. You know, he right. You know, let him put his own. Whenever he come after me, let what he's trying to do to me be done to him. And to the point of destruction. Okay. And I had to look at that because as you go into the New Testament, though, you know, it's not about the destruction of. It's about the reconciliation of. I struggle with that, Sister Desi. I struggled hard because my thing is, you doing me wrong, then I belong to the Lord. So I'm in covenant when I say, go get them, God. And then I'm in covenant because, see, the caveat, though, is this. The caveat is this. It is, whatever you do, do it for your name's sake. Okay. Yes, yes. Psalm 23. He says, he restored my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Return, O Lord, deliver me for your name's sake. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to your tender mercies for me, Lord, for your goodness' sake. In other words, for the sake of your name. That's right. That's right. And so I began to see this thing that I was grappling with. What does it look like? How do I share that with you to understand that you are covered by him because you are covered in covenant. But at the same time, understand you have the power and you have the authority to cancel out those curses in your life. But the caveat is you cancel those curses out because you walk in his name. And because when they try to curse you, they're actually trying to curse him. And so now you can say, but yeah, God, I get it. So go get them for your name's sake. And if they can be reconciled to you, that's a good thing. Right. But then I put on the end of it. But if they can't. But so and the reason why I'm sharing this with y'all because I had to grapple with that because, you know, in the New Testament, we have to understand when Jesus came. And that's why I was telling him yesterday that, you know, my first inclination is to, you know, the Malcolm philosophy. By any means necessary. But I had to come to the, you know, to the philosophy of King where it says, you know, love them, agape them, because the word says it's like heaping coals upon their head. So I can't deny the word. I'm just trying to show y'all how I'm just saying what I was grappling with in my study so I can make sure I share with you the, you know, how do you handle evil? Because we want to go after them right away, but the word says, Jesus says, you know, it's like putting coals, love them. It's like putting coals on their head. It's hard for me to do that, but the caveat is this, the caveat because of we can cancel the curse on our life because we walk and we abide in Christ and we walk and we abide in the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we can walk in the authority that we have. And so in the authority of Christ, in alignment with him, then we can cancel out anything that the devil sends our way because we have that authority and that ability to rule in that place because of who we are. But we have to understand, you know, that when we do that, it's so that God is glorified. Not simply because you just mad. See, so I had to grapple with that because one, the first caveat is, hey, it's got to be, you know, for his name's sake, for the glory of God. But the second caveat is this. You just can't do it because you're mad at somebody. Just because they got on your nerve. They may have gotten on your nerve because they were telling you something right. And so David here, and what I'm seeing here is David is saying, hey, do this, Lord, but understand in verses 1 through 8, he's telling you, hey, deliver me, preserve me. Lord, I'm doing this thing for you. I'm walking for you. I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to do what's right, but they still coming at me. So he wasn't saying he was just mad. He said, hey, they still coming at me. As they're coming at me, I can't do what you told me to do, what you called me to do. And so therefore, do what you need to do because you said vengeance belongs to you. So I'm trusting you to do what you got to do because they're coming after me for me trying to do what I'm supposed to do for you. That's the caveat. You just can't do anything. And you just can't just say, Lord, get them. Because you're mad at him. You can't. Although you want to. I mean, maybe, I know. There's been many times I wanted to say that. But verses 9 through 11, he pronounces a curse, or he's cursing them, but he's cursing them to help us understand that because he is trying to, David is really jealous for God's glory. If you read the whole thing, it comes back to David. David is, if any of David's psalms, no matter how high he goes, no matter how low he goes, it always comes back to he's doing it for the glory of God. There's nothing higher than or greater than or more precious than the glory of God being put on display in your and my life. At the end of the day, he said, if you're coming against me, you really are coming against God in God's glory. And so if you're coming against God in God's glory, then Lord, you've got to put him in their place because you said, I can't do nothing to him because you said, vengeance belongs to me. So I had to settle with you handle evil by canceling the curse with a caveat in your life. And that caveat being that you can speak to the evil with authority and with the ability to remove that evil from your life for the grace and the glory of God. Not just because somebody made you mad. And the other caveat is you don't do it so and tell the Lord to destroy them. It's done so they can be reconciled and restored back to him. That's what I have a hard time with. Because some of it, I just want them to get out the way. All the stuff that's going on right now is just so crazy. And I have to be careful how I pray, Sister Hattie. Because my prayers sometimes I have to go back and repent sometime of some of the prayer that I pray. Yeah. Because I'm serious because I put myself in David's place sometimes. I mean, y'all know the Lord, you know, in the Old Testament, he said, look, go wipe out all of them. But that was in the Old Testament. I'm going to keep going. So David showed us here that, you know, you handle evil by having that covenant cry, knowing who you are in the Lord, but then also canceling that curse with a caveat, knowing that the caveat is for his glory, for his grace, and not for your own selfishness. Okay? Because you can cancel it as you speak in the authority God has given you because you now walk with him, because you now abide in him. And abiding in him says you abide in his authority to rule. You abide in his ability to rule. Okay? Third point, I'm done. Thirdly, we look at this, and there's a confident conviction that you must have in all of this. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain. Then he says, surely the righteous shall give thanks. But you, when, in verse 12, when we look at that, we call it a confident conviction, you know, in the Lord. And that's because this, because the confident conviction comes from God, comes from David actually experiencing this in his life. This term, I know, the Hebrew term, just like the Greek term, it means a little bit more than just I have knowledge of. It simply means that I know experientially. In other words, I know this because he's already done this for me. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. I know this because I've seen it in my own life. I know this because he's walked with me to deal with it. I know this because I have experienced this. And I don't just have knowledge of it. It's just not a theory for me. It's a way of life that I've seen walk out in my life. So David says, I have this confident conviction because he has already carried me through some of these things. And just because, and understand, because he's carried me through, if you belong to him, he's going to carry you through. He says, I know that the Lord, here we go again, capital L-O-R-D. I know the Lord that I am in covenant with is the Lord who's going to take me through, because he promised that he would take me through this thing. So I know this because he just didn't tell me, he showed me. And he just didn't show me, he even escorted me. And he just didn't even escort me. Sometimes he literally picked me up and carried me through it. It was personal to him. It was personal. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks. What it says? What? To your name. It's all about his name. Surely, he says, the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The righteous, the righteous, the righteous. Who are the righteous, y'all? The righteous are the covenant people of God. Who's the covenant people of God? You and I, as believers, we are the covenant people of God. Peter says we are a holy priesthood. You know, he says, in other words, we are, I'm sorry, a holy generation, a royal priesthood. In other words, we belong to him. We are in covenant with him. And because we are in covenant with him, we are declared righteous by him because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So when he says, surely the righteous shall give thanks, we are the righteous. We are the covenant. We are the covenant people. We are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen generation. But what I like here is it says, you know, the righteous shall give thanks to your name. But then it says, the upright shall dwell in your presence. So, I know, I had to look that up, and I was looking at that, and, you know, the upright. Two things. The upright, he's saying here, definitely the righteous, but something else. You ever heard, you know, some of y'all maybe my age or older, you've heard, you know, older folks say that, you know, in their prayer, you know, I thank God that my bed wasn't a cooling board or something like that. Okay. Cooling board is, in other words, you're on the mortuary, the table. You're on a cold table. But you laid out. You laid out. So you laid out before him. But when you're walking what? If you're walking, you're walking what? Upright. See, so the upright was just not about a theology. The upright is also about your living and breathing. So he says, so the upright shall dwell. In other words, as long as you are living and breathing, you shall dwell in his presence. If you are righteous, then as you are upright, you will dwell in the presence of him at all. As long as you are living and breathing, you will dwell See, we miss this sometimes because of all the stuff that goes on around us. We forget the fact that as long as we are upright, we are still dwelling in his presence. All the stuff that goes on around us, we forget the fact that we are walking with him. All the stuff that goes on around, we are forgetting the fact that he's with us, man to man, heart to heart, hand to hand. All the stuff, we let the stuff that goes on around us affect how we view him with us. He says, as long as you are upright, you are walking in his presence. There is a confident conviction because he says, I know. And I know because I've experienced you. I know because you've shown me. I'm not going by mama's testimony. I'm not going by daddy's testimony. I'm not going by my wife's testimony, my grandma. I'm going by my own personal testimony. And because my personal testimony is there, I become even more passionate about you because I've seen you act on my path. I've seen you work. I'm done with this. He says in 1 John 5:13-14, look it up. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. That's the confidence that we have. That's that confident conviction that we have in him. And I'm done, but you know, I know on yesterday when I was sharing with the people at Second Baptist, I shared with them where he says, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, because whatever we ask in him and in his will, he says that my Father will be glorified because you're asking in my name. Okay, but don't let this slide by you too quickly. He says, but to ask in my name means that you are actually asking in alignment with me, and you're asking submitted to me, and you're asking because I'm telling you what to ask, and because I'm telling you what to ask, because I told you the Holy Spirit is going to declare to you what I tell him. And so when I tell him to ask you something, he tells you what I tell him. And when he tells you what I tell him, then you ask what I told him to tell you. And when you ask what I told him to tell you, then my Father grants what I told him to tell you to ask, because my Father always, according to the word of God, hears what I ask. So you ask in his name, in his will. You ask surrender to him. You ask in capitulation to him. You ask with a confident conviction that he's going to hear, because you are lined up in alignment with him, and you're asking what he told the Holy Spirit to ask. And when you ask what he told the Holy Spirit to ask, then his Father in heaven going to grant what you ask, because his Son is asking through the Holy Spirit, and you've given that ask to the Lord, and the Lord has responded to your and answered that ask. That's what David says here, y'all. He don't say it in all those terms, but he simply says this. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain. I know. I walk with him. I know that he's going to maintain the cause of the afflicted. I know that he's going to give justice to the poor. I've seen it. So with all the stuff that's happening around you, all you have to do is know how to deal with it, how to have a covenant cry, how to literally, honestly, you know, cancel out the curse with that caveat, but knowing that God is going to do this because of his glory, the glory of his name, and know that, understanding that the confident conviction that you have in the covenant cry and the cancellation of the curse is going to move it forward, because you're doing this all in the name of the Lord. If you don't get outside those parameters, y'all, you're good. If you don't get outside those parameters of the covenant, you're good. Yeah. The battle is,
stand in the covenant. Because y'all do know that that God's going to handle what's happening right now. You do know that, right? Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to just walk around blindly. But you handle it according to how he has called you and I to handle it. And then let him go to work on your behalf for the glory of his name. So, yeah, that's how you want to handle evil. Have that covenant cry. Have that confident conviction, even as you're trying to cancel out that curse with the caveat, knowing that the caveat is, it's got to be to the glory and to the grace of God. It's got to be. The evil coming in your life, the Lord may allow it to come in your life because it may actually chastise you and get your attention and cause you to come cry to him. Then he'll go deal with it. I would love to say, just keep praying that evil don't come into your life, that adversity don't come into your life. That's not the case. When it comes, this is how you handle it. Cry out in covenant. Cancel that curse with the caveat for the glory of the Lord. And be confident in your conviction of who he is. Y'all, this is not a make-believe story, a make-believe saga. Uh-oh. This is not a fictional book. Mm-hmm. This is the word of God. Right. My prayer is that we really know this to be the inspired word, to be able to go to the word, to be able to handle what's going on in our lives. And believe what he says.